today's first reading can be found on page 758 of the Church Bible. And it's John chapter 11, and I'm beginning to read at verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Amen.
John chapter 20, verses 1 to 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. This is the word of God.
Most of the time when I preach, I love to look for little details. And the accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection are full of them. The way that even though they weren't allowed to by law, it's the women who are the witnesses, first of all, to the resurrection. Jewish law wouldn't allow a woman to be a witness. But Jesus appears, first of all, to the women. If the disciples were making up accounts of the resurrection, they would have arranged for some men to be witnesses. The little detail of the wrappings, the funeral wrappings for the cloth, for the head and the cloth for the body, as if Jesus had just passed through the bulk of the wrappings over the body, but then had had to sit down on the edge of the slab and unwind the wrapping around his head himself. And he'd folded it up neatly afterwards. He'd been properly brought up, obviously. And I love picking out little details like that. But today is not a day for picking out the little details. Concentrating on the details would miss this. Jesus of Nazareth was dead and now is alive. It's not a little detail. It's the core of this account. And it changes everything. Many, many years ago, Frank Morrison wrote a great book, Who Moved the Stone? He set out when he wrote that book to list all of the reasons why the resurrection was a fairy tale. But as he put the book together, he realized that the evidence was powerful and compelling, and he came to believe it. It's just as powerful today as when he wrote it. The resurrection of Jesus is better attested than almost any other event in history. It has been challenged by generation after generation, but not once has it convincingly been demonstrated to be false. If Jesus didn't die, but merely collapsed, how did he get out of the tomb? If the Romans or the Jewish leaders took the body away, or if they knew where it was, why didn't they produce it to stop the story getting around that Jesus was alive? If it was the believers who took the body, or if it was the believers who rescued a swooned Jesus, or if they made up a story, then why would they willingly die for such a lie? If his resurrection was never more than just encouraging one another, chin up, perhaps he's not really dead, would they die for that? And if it was, how did they manage to make up and share a story so quickly? Paul writes, Corinthians, within just a few years of Jesus' death, clearly believes that Jesus rose from the dead. If people reject the resurrection of Jesus, it's not because they've looked at the facts and refused to accept them. It's because they decided before they look that they couldn't possibly be true. If this one thing is true, it changes everything. If Jesus, who was dead, is now alive, at a stroke, his teaching and his life become irresistible. The resurrection says everything this Jesus said is true. I can believe his miracles, his promises, and the words that he uses. He is now not just a man. He is the one who rose from the dead. If he can do this, then there's nothing that's beyond him. If Jesus, who was dead, is now alive, then when he said, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die," then I know that he knows what he's talking about. He really is the resurrection and the life. He has been there and he's done it. Anyone else, they say that to you and you'd laugh. But this man has earned our attention. He has life stronger than death to offer. The centurion says that he's afraid of staking his life on something that is not true. But Jesus, who died, is alive. If Jesus, who was dead, is now alive, then my sin really has been dealt with. Sin is the death bringer. Sin is destructive. It's sin that corrupts and defiles. But when Jesus died and rose again, he defeated sin. Here's what he says. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. If Jesus, who was dead, is now alive, everything changes. And if Jesus, who was dead, is now alive, then I have to tell people that this has happened. John, who wrote down most of the words that we've heard today, said at the end of the book that he was writing, these things are written. He says, there's so much else that Jesus did, there'd never be an end to it if I tried to write it all down. He said, these things, the things I've written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life. There are loads of wonderful details about what happened that first Easter. But the thing to remember is this, above everything else, Jesus, who was dead, is alive. And if that's true, your life can never be the same again. For this Jesus says, believe in me, your sins can be forgiven, you will receive eternal life, and everything will be made new. That's what we're celebrating today, the life that Jesus and Jesus alone can give. And if you've realized at last that this is true, that this Jesus changes life, then don't let today pass, but come talk to me. We'll pray together and we'll see where God is taking you in the life that will never be the same again. Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. He is risen from the dead. Hallelujah.